I'm Tommy Gimler. Baseball's postseason is upon us. The first quarter of the NFL season is complete. The NHL season births this week, and the Buffalo Bills fans are doing blow at Ralph Wilson Stadium. It's official. This is the greatest time to be a sports fan and the worst time to be a wife.
I'm Dutch McTavish, filling in for Barry Murphy. CC Sabathia checked himself into rehab this week, which is strange because you usually don't associate CC with being a quitter. We'll break down the all-time best alcoholics in sports history.
And I'm the fabulous T-Shawn. And if you're a fan of the term crock of shit, you'll love what I have to say. Coming up next.
The Daily Upper-Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.
Crock of shit, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty wound up about something.
Well, is it because you miss me? It's good to be back. I'm having a blast.
I am happy to have you back.
We've got our buddy Jeremy right now texting me all the way from France right now. It's kind of interrupting our show. Off to a bad start. All because I'm an asshole texting from French.
Hola.
From France.
Hola, Jeremy.
Tough start. See, we're all over the place.
That's probably
Dutch McTavish, great to have you on the show. We haven't had you back since you aced the Wonderlic test.
Good to see you there, Tom.
All right. We're back as finest. Great to have you here. Guys, we have a lot on the plate, so we're just going to jump right into the hot mess.
The hot mess.
First up, the 2015 MLB postseason preview. The Toronto Blue Jays are 3-1 favorites to win the World Series. Guys, who you got?
Well, I'll start this off.
Looking at T-shirt, head down, ripped shirt.
I know how much you love the Kansas City Royals, Tom, and their manager, Ned Yost, who seems to really have his finger on the pulse of his team for the second straight year.
He's such a dick. 5-1 odds for the Royals. The Royals and the Cardinals are at 5-1. Dodgers 6-1. Mets 7-1. Cubs 10-1. Pirates 11-1. Rangers 12-1. Astros 14-1. And the Yankees 14-1. We don't recommend taking them, though.
Not anymore. If I may, though, Tommy.
You want to interrupt our baseball talk?
Yeah. Believe me, this is pertinent.
That's a big word right there. Rakesh, what does pertinent mean?
Did he have an answer?
Not yet. I don't think he knows.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, like, honestly, you referenced the Yankees. They fucking lost tonight. Here's what I've really got to say. This whole one-game wild card situation, going back to my earlier reference of crock of shit, this is some gimmicky nonsense that baseball's trying to, like, force any sort of level of excitement for the fans at all, and it's just such nonsense. These guys play 162 games, like, in just the eternal season, which, incidentally, they should also change. They should at least shave off, go back to the old days, the Babe Ruth days. I even looked it up. They only played like 154 games.
154 games, and then they went straight to the World Series.
Yeah, terrific.
Yeah.
Get this motherfucker over with is what I'm saying. Actually, you know what? It would no other sport, right? For instance, even in the NBA, instead of shortening that initial series, they went from 5 games to 7 to have more playoff games. Like, this is it's perfectly asinine that these guys have to play this long. It's one thing if the teams were tied, right? And I've seen that in the past, right? Where there's two teams,
after 162
same record,
games,
you have that
tied,
tiebreaker game. Fine. That doesn't feel like forced drama and tension and just like you're trying to dupe every motherfucker out there. And it's just it should be made into a real playoff series. The teams, the players, everyone has earned it. And if you shorten the season, the number of games would, sort of match up, right?
Sure.
So you go back. Also, incidentally, there are no more Iron Men of baseball. Everyone's out like at least 30 games a year they take off. It's another crock of shit that actually makes this game not a sport, but just a game on par with like darts or bocce.
They play the full season in darts.
I know they're tougher than baseball players. Thank you for adding to my point. I appreciate that. Like, it's a game. It's a foolhardy game. That's why there's no fandom. That's why it's like we're desperately talking about them. Come this time, if they shorten the season as well, they'd run into fewer games with shitty weather. They're playing in fucking November. No one wants to see baseball in fucking November.
Is your wife out of town?
How can you tell?
Did she have some kind of procedure that you can't sleep with her for for about a month. It sounds like it's part of your rant is coherent and it makes sense. But otherwise, it sounds like a rant from someone who moved a lot as a child from Montreal to Tennessee to Denver. But I hear you. However, tonight's game was a perfect example of why it should only be a one game series. Those teams were dog shit. The Major League Baseball did everybody a favor by having the Astros play the Yankees one game and one game only. The Yankees had like four hits. It was ridiculous. They had two guys on in one inning, and that was it.
I want to ask Tishon a question, though. So you shorten the season. That's fine. I'm all for that.
Yeah, eight games.
Play from May until September.
Hey, you're even suggesting shorter. So that I'm all for that. 140 games is plenty, I think.
But are you saying there should be – it should go back to four teams in the playoffs? Division winners and a wild card? Do you want six teams?
I want more playoffs. Like, as long as these guys – I just feel – this is from the player standpoint. I'm obviously not the biggest baseball fan around. But I just
Montreal
think the players –
to Tennessee to Denver. Pre-team.
Look, the players – the players in the other leagues, NHL and Hoops, you know – they get full series worth. They've played 82 games. These guys have played 100 and gabillion, and they deserve like a proper playoff route.
I'm thrilled that our 2015 MLB postseason preview has basically been a 9.5 minute rant on why the baseball postseason sucks. and that's why you come to the Daily Upper Decker to get your MLB news. Because you're not going to get that anywhere else, you know, if you want a true postseason preview. So I agree with you.
Well, it's because two out of the three guys don't know anything about baseball, Tom.
And that might be where you come into play here on our next question. So in the MLB postseason, there every single year, and I put down Mark Lemke and David Freese. Remember Mark Lemke on the Braves? Just a sack of shit that you couldn't even believe was on the roster during the regular season. And then for a while, he was hitting like 530. In the postseason, and the Braves were in the postseason every year, so it would always come up. And then David Freese, of course, he sucks ass. Like, he's not even on the Cardinals anymore. They shipped him off to Anaheim. He hits the big home run down on the final strike, boom, hits a home run. Cardinals eventually go on to win the World Series. So my question for you is, what no-name player is going to be this year's turd turned golden boy?
I did research this a little.
Good.
Knowing you had noted the Mark Lemke and David Frise, whatever you say it. So I thought was maybe a consistency is our names with unusually ending in the letter E or with an unnecessary E at the end.
And
so I looked up a lot of different names. Alas, I didn't really take notes, but I'm going with Eric Young Jr.
Who may or may not be on the Mets postseason roster. It may have yet to be determined. He might need an injury to get onto the roster. He might be number 26 and they only have 25 players in it.
If you do look at the rosters, there are quite a few players. And oddly enough, though, it's a lot of pitchers that have like curious E's at the end of their names that seem like they don't need to be there.
Agreed. I'm gonna take it a different route. At first, I was like, oh my God, he's going to pick the same guys. Oh. I did.
Well, let's see if you did.
Because they usually are odd names. So I'm going to go with Ruff Odor from Texas. I think it's actually pronounced like Rogned Odor or something like that. But no. When they shorten it, it's Ruff Odor. And he just has like those kind of...
Ruff Odor is his name?
Ruff Odor, yeah. He's the second baseman for the Texas Rangers.
Dude, if that guy has a series, he's getting himself a deodorant commercial.
Correct. what was that, Major League? Would they get the deodorant commercial?
Oh, yeah.
Or no, what he Major does, League Major League 2, when he's holding it upside down. Upside down.
Odoriferous olfactory emanations.
And then I'm also going to go with Tommy Pham, Pham. Hmm. Like Ph Pham. Right. Tommy Pham on St. Louis. Basically going to play because of injuries to Piscotty and basically everybody else on the Cardinals team is hurt. So Tommy Pham, he looks like one of those guys. Like in the case of Ruff Oder, you know, he's probably eating shit his entire life for that name, and they're probably pushing him on the playground and tripping him in gym class and stuff just because of his name. And the same thing with Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham looks like he could be white, black, Asian. It's a mix of everything. And I think these guys are just
like Tiger Woods.
It all comes to a culmination where they hate themselves because they don't know what they are, really, you know. And they've been picked on by everybody. Black people hate Tommy Pham because he's too white or too Asian. Asian people hate him because he's black, you know. And he's just usually all that hatred just culminates into a strong postseason presence. So I'm going to go with Tommy Pham or Ruff Oder from Texas.
Those are two great guys, Tom.
Did I take your two guys?
Tommy Pham, no. Ruff Oder, didn't even know he was playing.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and go with a real loser.
Well, he must play for the Cubs.
Yep.
Ah, see?
No, he doesn't. I don't even get me started on them. Who is this year's turd-turned-golden boy? And he had a down year, and you may disagree with me on this, but Clayton Kershaw...
He's in the postseason. He's usually shit.
Is finally going to win a postseason game.
I like where your head's at here, and I think for our Latino audience out there, the 2% who can understand our show, they're going to agree with your selection. They're going to love you for that selection.
So they heard Clayton Kershaw and they turned it up. Hey,
hey, we're getting to the good part. Here we go. Billy, turn down the machinery. They're talking Dodgers.
My other guy is actually a pitcher, and his name is Bobby Raspberry.
Bobby Raspberry.
Well, he's actually got a French name. It's La Framboise.
And who does he play for?
He plays for the Pirates.
Ah.
No one's ever heard of Bobby Raspberry?
I have not. And I was just in Pittsburgh. You think I would have... Yeah. We've seen a couple of his jerseys hanging in the window.
He does misspell his name, actually, in French. But
intentionally.
It's what makes him different, for sure.
I think I'm going to do everybody a favor and just skip the rest of the baseball news.
We're
going to jump forward into the sport that everybody loves. So both of our listeners who are still out there right now, they're going to – we can't lose them, all right? This is a big show. We're back in Los Angeles. We're back to being, like, you know, on time with our podcast instead of me calling Ryan at the Crab Diving Network and saying, like, hey, just play the Wunderlich test one again. I'll get you next week. guys, one quarter – of the NFL season is already done. Four games. The majority of NFL teams have already completed one-fourth of their season already. So at this point, let's identify a couple of awards, because that's the way we work here at the Dud. We hand out quarter season awards. First award up, the Demi Lovato Award. This is going out. Oh, this is great. My wife just showed up, and she was out with one of the premier names in cinematography in the adult film industry, Holly Randall. And it looks like we've all been given, or at least the two of you, because I've got tons of these lying around, Holly Randall's directorial debut, True Erotica, featuring Alexis Texas. I think it's a must-watch. Gentlemen, let's read the synopsis here.
I'm looking at the back, and...
Of course you are. You are a back guy.
Jenna Sativa's corset is ill-fitting.
Personally, I think Ava DeLouche and Ryan Driller's scene is going to be award-winning. That's something you're going to be seeing on show. That's something you're going to be seeing on Showtime at the AVN Awards in May.
You know, you probably should have handed this out to me before I had my wacky-ass tirade, and I wouldn't have chewed up so much time, because it's sort of keeping me quiet.
We just lost T'Shawn Phillips for 10 minutes, but he's going to come back a different person. Once again, make sure you check it out. Holly Randall's directorial debut, True Erotica, featuring Alexis Texas, also including Danny Daniels. I love her work. Jenna Sativa.
Of course.
Alexa Tomas and... Ava DeLouche.
Few are able to capture a moment of ecstasy with the same singular thrill director Holly Randall can achieve. Born in Tinseltown, she knows exactly how to fill every frame with the razzle, dazzle, and potent pizzazz of a Hollywood blockbuster. In her AE Films directorial debut, Holly is behind the camera for Alexis Texas's long-awaited comeback, Danny Daniels' romp with Ramon, plus scenes featuring Alexa Thomas, Ava DeLouche, and more.
And right below that is a chick getting her asshole eaten out. That brings it all together right there.
And more.
That is the more section.
I just want you to keep saying words with the letter.
Oh, now that I'm a quarter of the way done, guys, let's jump back into the NFL. They're a quarter of the way done with their season. Let's hand out the Demi Lovato Award. And this goes out to, basically, sure, the team is undefeated or has just one loss right now. But, you know, it's just a matter of time before they're sucking dick for chicken scratch, all right? So, as of right now, the Patriots are 3-0. The Jets are 3-1. The Cincinnati Bengals are 4-0. The Denver Broncos are 4-0. The Green Bay Packers are 4-0. The Carolina Panthers and Atlanta Falcons are both 4-0 in the NFC South, and the Arizona Cardinals are 3-1. So, Tyshawn Phillips, we'll start with you. Which of those teams do you think will eventually fall off the face of the earth and find themselves in January sucking dick behind a Piggly Wiggly?
Or in one of Holly Randall's next incredible thrillers. I would say J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
3-1, you're not buying them.
No, man, it's the fucking Jets.
All right, let's take a look at their schedule. So 3-1 right now. So they haven't played the Patriots at all either yet. So they've got two against the Patriots. So far they've been able to take down the Browns, the Colts, and the Dolphins, and there's a loss to Philadelphia in there. So on the schedule they still have Washington at home. They're at Oakland. They're against Jacksonville. They're against Buffalo, at Houston, against Miami, who has turned out to be just pure dog shit, at the New York Giants, against the Tennessee Titans, at the Dallas Cowboys, and at the Buffalo Bills, and of course there's the two against New England in there. So how many wins do you see them? That could be an 8-8 team, surprisingly. They're a 3-1 team. Rakish had them going 2-14 this year, so he's already wrong. Tough to be wrong after four games.
I'm not predicting number of wins. They're just the fucking Jets. It may come down to they have to win their last game to make the playoffs, and they will bumblefuck it up.
Now, here's the thing about the Jets is they don't have a quarterback, obviously, but what they do have is a really good defense. Having played nobody, that's true. But they have a really good defense. They have
I'll tell you,
Darrell Revis came back, right?
Yeah, when Chris Ivory runs for 166, you're going to win.
Yes. So I'd say they win 9, maybe 10 games.
Brandon Marshall has had 3 100-yard receiving performances this year.
And goes on
totally whack
on his TV show and says he's the best receiver in the history of the NFL.
Hashtag totally whack. He does. He goes on, what is it, the NFL Today?
Yeah.
Is it his own show? I mean,
he's on there.
He's allowed to say that on his own show.
That's why people are watching. People who are Brandon Marshall fans, that's why they're watching.
Now, keep in mind, you did say of all the teams, like, I'm picking a team.
That are either 4-0 or 3-0 or one
right,
loss.
Like, the Jets, to me, are the standout perennial losers.
Okay.
Now,
Dutch?
Now, is this during the season or is this when they get to the playoffs?
No, this is during the season. Like, they're 4-0 or 3-0 or 3-1 right now, but they're not going to make it to the postseason.
I am not sold on the Carolina Panthers.
Agreed.
They have no offensive threats and a defense that plays pretty good. But I just don't see them being able to keep up with someone like if you get into the playoffs, Green Bay, any team that can score a lot of points, Atlanta. They
Correct.
Are on fire right now.
And let's take a look at the teams they've beaten so far. They have beaten... On the road, they've gone to Jacksonville and Tampa Bay and taken care of business. At home, they've taken care of business against Houston and a New Orleans team without Drew Brees.
Right.
So 4-0. That's probably the falsest 4-0 team out there.
I would say the Carolina Panthers are an 8-8 team at best.
But, I mean, that being said, yeah, I agree. I mean, they seem pretty fallible. But, they are in, like, one of the iffiest divisions in the whole league. So,
well, I think Atlanta might be for real this year. I don't know.
I don't trust. They're the Cincinnati of the NFC.
I disagree. Atlanta last year was a I believe they were a 7-9 or 6-10 team, but they were so poorly coached that they lost like four or five of those games in the final 2 minutes.
Well, I think they had double-digit guys on IR too.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about one of their players who's up for our Deuce Bigelow Award here in just a second. Moving on to other teams, how about the Man from UNCLE Award? We're looking to hand that one out to the team that was supposed to be a contender, but so far has fallen flatter than Kate Hudson.
Hudson's body is rocking right now.
It's rocking, but did she buy herself a set of tits?
I think so.
Oh,
it was a good purchase. Well done, too.
Oh. Yeah.
She did invent a line of...
Does Demi Lovato have tits?
She's still like just a little girl, Demi Lovato.
Then fine. It then fallen flatter than little girl Demi Lovato.
I don't know. I would say...
Man, fallen flatter than a girl that R. Kelly finds attractive. How about that?
Gets worse and worse.
You know who's not flat is Ava DeLush. Nice.
I'll tell you what. There were a lot of people who were saying that the Baltimore Ravens were going to go to the Super Bowl.
They're
1-3, and they look like shit.
I would have picked the Colts is truly who I would have picked.
Like of course. The Colts, I think, they're the obvious one. Mm. All right, the Chiefs at 1-3, the Ravens at 1-3, the Eagles at 1-3. There were a lot of people.
Yeah.
26-1 to win the Super Bowl.
No one knew what the Eagles were going to do. But my disappointing Man from UNCLE Award goes to the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, agreed. That's a great choice.
Yeah. They were the sexy pick for everybody going into the season. They spent all this money to get all these free agents.
Ndamukong Suh, yeah. Ndamukong
Suh, some receivers, you know. And Ryan Tannehill had finally turned the corner. Now, is it Joe Philbin's fault? I don't know.
Somewhat. He just lost control of the team.
I think so. And who's going to come in there and gain control of the team? If they could get him back, I think they need John Gruden to go down there. I think John Gruden could probably take that team to the Super Bowl.
All right, very good. Let's move on here. The Punky Brewster Award.
I like that. I like that, Dutch.
It was outstanding. The Punky Brewster Award. This is handed out to the player who has been the NFL's biggest bust so far. I'll get it rolling with Andrew Luck. A couple of Colts, you know, because they're on the team that's supposed to do something. Andrew Luck, Frank Gore. Frank Gore was supposed to be this guy who you could hand the ball at the goal line, you can hand it off to him, and it was a touchdown. That's why you brought him in, right? So Andrew Luck so far, Frank Gore, and then C.J. Anderson.
Well, and you can in that it's a triumvirate actually on the Indy offense of Andre Johnson as well.
Yes, correct.
Sorry to interrupt, but here's one thing that all those guys' teams have in common: the Colts have a terrible offensive line. The Denver Broncos' offensive line is very young and might get better, but they're not good right now. That's why Peyton Manning's having such a hard time.
The best player, you know, our left tackle is out.
Yeah. And like I said, they're young and they'll figure it out eventually. But with no offensive line or no defensive line, you're in big trouble, and that's why these teams are suffering right now.
And there's a lot of teams actually suffering from some shit-ass line. That's why I think play has been fairly inconsistent.
Right.
I think that the Punky Brewster Award should probably go to Aaron Rodgers because that guy is stinking it up. If he's really the reigning NFL MVP and he's playing like he is right now, it's going to be a long season for Packer fan.
That sarcastic 10 seconds brought to you from by Wapaka, Wisconsin.
That felt very tongue in cheek. I would say
a great place to get a burger at Culver's. There's got to be a Culver's.
There is a Culver's. There
might be two of them. Thank you. This entire show, that's good. This entire show is being brought to you by Hard Liquor.
You know, I would say a man named Sue is definitely eligible for this. We brought him up, you know, when we talked about Miami.
But why? He's getting triple teamed every play.
I know. But, you know, that's what you're paid to do, though, man.
Right.
Like, you know, it's sort of you're still supposed to stand out in spite of it. You know, when you're a great receiver, you get double
teamed. Still supposed to, like, you know, kick him in the dick or something like that.
Speaking of then the double teamed, apart from, again, this fine film we were describing, but Calvin Johnson also not really doing that well.
No, he's 2 years in a row. Yeah. That's
the Manning brothers also a little iffy.
Speaking of getting kicked in a dick, I was watching the Packers 49ers game on Sunday. There is, a bigger number of players this year not wearing cups. And with all the super slow-mo you know, shots that are being taken there. There's a whole lot of cock out on the field. That's and it, just like it, there, it happened last year to the 49ers. It might be like just a 49ers thing where they're like, we're going cupless. That's how tough we are. Last year, Vernon Davis was literally tackled by just his dick. The player reached out and you could see it. He just grabbed the hole of this fucking thing, this hog, and just ripped him down. So I don't know if that's like a trend now or if it's something just in San Francisco, but that's something to keep an eye on, I think, for the 2015 NFL season.
Dick kicking.
Sure.
I know that he's hurt, but who's the tight end that came from Denver that went to Jacksonville?
Julius
Thomas, yeah.
Right.
Bust. And Jimmy Graham.
That is,
yeah, but he's hurt.
He's hurt.
Jimmy Graham is more of a bust than that because he's actually been on the field four games and just been pure dog shit.
Their offense was never geared around that. Like, it's such a wild, like, he's come from the consummate guy, you know, that stays in the pocket and, like, knows how to get rid of it, and, you know, he's it's that type of outlet. And watching, you know, fucking Russell was unbelievable the other night, but that, you can't run an offense that way.
Right. Speaking of ways you can run an offense, how about our final award here, the Deuce Bigelow Award. You weren't expecting jack shit from this guy, but hot damn, he's a player this year. I'm going to throw out four names. You guys can talk about them. Travis Benjamin, the wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. Devontae Freeman, the running back for the Atlanta Falcons. Andy Dalton, the quarterback for the Bengals. And James Jones, the receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Guys, talk about that.
I think Red's obviously playing real well. I mean, he's had good seasons before, but he's playing very well. I'm going to add Chris Polk to the of the Houston Texan fame. Of course, they're a shitty team, but you know, you got to love his chicken and shrimp routine from Hard Knocks.
I'll get into the four guys you mentioned, but the rookie receiver from the Raiders, Amari Cooper.
Oh yeah,
For a rookie, he is balling, big time. But I don't
know. I drafted him in two fantasy teams because I was actually expecting something from him.
Oh, okay.
So this goes out to the player, like, you weren't expecting anything from this guy, which I suppose could be any Raiders player.
I did feel like maybe James Jones wasn't going to have a job unless he went back to Green Bay.
And that's exactly what happened.
It's amazing.
He's second or third in the league in touchdowns right now. Yeah. No, James Jones, it just goes to show, I'm a Packer fan, and it just goes to show that is a system team. So is Aaron Rodgers really that good? Yes, he's that good. But I can see why Randall Cobb would take less money to stay in Green Bay because
he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you're going to play it. You're going to get numbers there and bigger contracts. And
You're going to be able to open Randy Cobb's used Hyundai.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're going to get business there.
but James Jones, he had 75 or 80 catches last year for Oakland. Why would they let him go? Yeah. Like, what do they really have that's better than James Jones?
Right.
And then the Giants. Oakland. The Giants are a joke. I mean, I don't know how they win so many Super Bowls. It's kind of a travesty. But Devontae Freeman, I think.
Number one player in fantasy football right now. Number one ranked, 252 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns in the first four games.
Well, yeah, two, three, for, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously he's not going to keep up that pace. But
I mean, if he does, that's
I've got him going for 30 Dickerson. This year.
Not a bad little back.
He's a little behind. He's a little behind what I thought he'd be doing. I had him go for 30.
And who was the other guy?
Andy Dalton and Travis Benjamin. Travis Benjamin, the wide receiver for the Browns, which they don't have a quarterback there, and he still has amassed 328 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns.
Could you imagine if they had a guy that could throw him the ball?
There we go.
He'd also have 30 touchdowns.
Correct.
Hey, guys, we got to move on because there's a couple things I still want to get to here. You guys with me here? CC Sabathia of the Yankees. It's the best story I've heard in a long time. You think he would have become? He would have probably grown into an alcoholic when he played for the Brewers, or living in a town like Cleveland. But that's not the case. Lately, he's been just off the charts, and he actually checked himself into alcohol rehab Monday, despite the fact that his team was in the postseason. So in true dud fashion, we said, let's poke some fun at him and let's speculate on what he did. Like, you know, you got to figure that if you jump ship and left your team before the postseason happened, murder maybe? Did he wake up next to a dude?
Well, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I partied with CC back.
Yes, you did.
In 2009.
I remember that, actually.
Yeah. And the fireball was flowing freely.
This is pre-fireball. And it was flowing freely.
He was connected, you know.
I believe it was called Dr. McGillicuddy's.
Yes, it was.
Prior to
what
fireball.
What can we do to actually sell this shit? Let's call it fireball.
Next thing I know, we're on the set of a Holly Randall movie, and... That's where it really got weird. So I guess I can say I'm not surprised.
All right. So where do you think he ranks on the all-time list of best alcoholics in sports history?
He's way behind Brett Favre.
was Brett Favre really an alcoholic?
Yeah. I remember in 95.
He was on the pills.
And he was an alcoholic.
And the booze.
Yes.
Well, there was a story that Brett Favre, it was the Paul Hornung show. Horny. My dad would always say Paul Horning, but that was not now. It was Paul Hornung. Hornung.
Okay.
How do you pronounce it?
The Golden Boy.
The Golden Boy. Okay. That's how you say it. So Paul Horning had a show.
Of course he did.
And he's out all day at a golf tournament drinking with Brett Favre. And Brett Favre gets on set and Paul asks him, so, Brett, everyone wants to know, like, have you cleaned your life up? When was the last time you had a drink? And he, like, said, like, he had gone, like, a year without drinking, even though he was out boozing the whole morning on the golf course with Paul right there. That's – I didn't know if he could be considered an alcoholic, though, really.
Brett Favre would drink double the Miller Lights of how many touchdown passes he had during the season. So
– wow.
You know – first touchdown pass was two. That's why he always threw five in the first game so that he could catch one before moving on.
This is good stuff that you can only get from what Pack is fine as Dutch McTavish, and that's why he's on the show.
I don't know. I had no idea that CC Sabathia was an alcoholic. Yeah. Maybe
no one did. That's why he came out of left field. So it was like, what did he do to get to this point? That's usually like, you know, he did something pretty serious.
Yeah, I think he's just channeling the old players. I think it's actually baseball that some of the great alcoholics.
Hasn't he been on the shelf all year though?
No, he's actually like pitched like 170 innings.
Oh, well, he's had something to do. I mean,
some of them were good innings too. Some of them
baseball.
Some of them went 1-2-3.
Baseball, for all of Sean's complaining about how long the season is, you know, is played mostly during the summer, and you go out, you work up a sweat, you come in, you have a beer.
Well, there were rumors 40. That like on Friday they were rained out in Baltimore. And he was getting hammered in the clubhouse. So he walked past the reporters, and he's, like, stumbling, and they were trying to ask him questions. And he's normally really good with the media, and he wouldn't say anything. There was one teammate's working out. And he's got, like, a brown bag of booze in it. And he's like, here, come on, man. Take a hit. Take a sip. And the guy's like, no, I still got to do some running yet. Another team comes running in, puts him into a cab, and he gets him out of there.
Well, you only go to rehab when you do something so bad that you have to show up on the cover of SI being like, sorry, went to screwed up, fucked up really bad, had to go to rehab.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Rape, murder, waking up next to another teammate. My money's on Jacoby Ellsbury. No? All right. Well, let's say you have to say top 20 alcoholics of all time in sports history. Where does CC Sabathia rank? So CC Sabathia, at this point, he has... He has a 214 and 129 record, 369 ERA, 1.25 whip, 2,574 strikeouts, 38 complete games, and 12 shutouts in just a sea hair less than 3,000 innings. So where do those numbers rank him?
So are we creating an all-star team?
Correct. Well, let's go like three guys.
Who are actually great players.
Or let's say if you had to put him on like a list of like 25 guys, where on the 25 would he rank? I think he would make the list of top 25 sports alcoholics, right? Or would he be honorable mention?
Is this all sports or just...
All sports.
Okay.
All right.
So I'll get the ball rolling. I'll say that like near the top of the list, Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor was a huge booze hound in the 80s, and he did so much booze, and he was so addicted to booze that it would no longer work for him, so then he turned to the hard shit, like crack, blow, underage pussy. He had to get other things because the booze wasn't working anymore. That's how much of an alcoholic he was.
Let's party.
I mean, you bring up like Mantle and Ruth, and they're, you know,
they're some of the tops right
there. Yeah, you know, they have some pretty, for the fact that there was no way to really, you know, like there's no social media, there was no way to really follow them in all of their antics, you know, dating back to the old days.
There wasn't social media, something? But listen to this about Mickey Mantle. So Mickey Mantle in 1973, the Yankees asked Mickey Mantle, they said, hey, it's the 50th anniversary of Yankee Stadium. So can you please tell us, we're going to all the greats, and we're saying, please tell us your greatest memory of Yankee Stadium, your greatest moment at Yankee Stadium. So he responds, this was December 14th, 1972, and they were doing this for the 1973 season, which was the 50th anniversary of Yankee Stadium. It says, I consider the following my outstanding experience at Yankee Stadium. I got a blowjob under the right field bleachers by the Yankee bullpen. And then, you know, that was in the blanks.
By the whole bullpen?
Like, well, no, by a girl, by the Yankee bullpen.
Oh.
So then it says, this event occurred on or about, in parentheses, give as much detail as you can. So he said, it was about the third or fourth inning. I had a pulled groin and couldn't fuck at the time. She was a very nice girl and asked me what to do with the cum after I cum in her mouth. I said, don't ask me. I'm no cocksucker. Signed, Mickey Mantle, the All-American Boy. I'd say that's pretty high on the alcoholic list right there. And
didn't one of his
finest memories? Yeah.
Didn't one of his telegrams just sell for $1 million too?
Mickey Mantle's did?
I think so. Did he telegram that to somebody?
No, Deadspin got a hold of that. It was back in like 2011. Maybe that's what it was. That's worth more than $1,000 right there. I would put that on the wall. Kate and I would dip into our kid fund.
Oh, nice.
Whatever we had. I'd pay triple that to have that on my wall.
Well, there are stories of my main man, Chris Mullen, would drink a 12-pack before going out and playing for the Warriors.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And then...
Isn't he from Utah? Didn't he go to like BYU or something?
He might have.
Well, that would explain it, right? Because
St. John's?
Oh, okay. Little different.
A little different.
Yeah.
There you get kicked off the team if you don't fuck somebody.
Right. But then I think, so when it was TMC, which is Tim Hardaway and Mitch Richmond and Chris, he got those other guys drinking too. He's like, hey, you guys want a beer? Yeah, might as well. And then all of a sudden it turns into... You know, they're getting sloshed
Century
at
Club.
Halftime.
Yeah, yeah, Century Club.
And he's still putting up 30 a night. Come on.
Oh, that's good stuff.
That is a great alcoholic right there, friends.
And, you know, Leo DiCaprio and Marky Mark were also pretty...
Were they athletes?
Oh, but they played athletes. And
have you seen Basketball Diaries?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, they played athletes. I'm talking about, actual athletes here.
Yeah.
They were playing basketball, though. And they were all fucked up, so I think they count. They should be discussed.
All right, well, my top three, Lawrence Taylor at number three, Mickey Mantle at number two, and Babe Ruth. Yeah. And here's the quote I want to leave you with from Babe Ruth, and this is apparently true. So I guess there was a story, I mean, there's plenty of stories about Babe Ruth and how much he could put away. One of his teammates, Tommy Heinrich, once said that Ruth had a throat like a trombone. And one time he went to Chicago for a game against the White Sox, and they all took him out and got him shithoused. And the bartender was sympathetic to the White Sox, so he spiked the punch with a bunch of shit. And Ruth was out like all the way through in the morning, and they played day games back then. So he shows up to the stadium, no sleep, anything like that. And it just said that he dominated the game in an impressive way. And after it, he shocked the players of the White Sox by asking where they were going for drinks this time. And this is going on no sleep. And then he also once asked a kid asked him, you know, hey, how can we be good at as good at baseball as you? And he allegedly replied, it's simple, kids. If you drink and smoke and eat and screw as much as me, well, kiddos, someday you can be just as good at sports.
That's Babe Ruth advice. Yeah.
Can you imagine if someone did that now? Yeah. The internet would break. Twitter would just be all over it.
I I blame my bad ankles, and I would be at that level.
Oh, and that is that is a perfect way, guys, to jump into our next segment.
Can I throw in one more?
Of course you can.
Isn't that WNBA player with the male voice an alcoholic too?
Brittany Griner?
Yeah, the one that beat up her wife.
She is.
All right.
Yes, she is.
She made my top three.
Top right. three. Wow. She's only been around for a couple of years.
Good for her.
She dominates the sport. It's probably because she's a dude.
Yes.
Yeah, I like to throw down 360 dunks. And that's not even low enough. She's almost like a T-Shawn range.
She does. And when she talks, she goes.
She drinks so much, she hits her wife. That's when you know you're a true alcoholic. Guys, we're going to have to skip the pile today. We're going to have to skip the pile. There's not enough time, and I really want to get to our factor fudge, right? All right, should we do one?
Can we go through them fast?
Let's go through them. This is a speed pile. All right, a speed pile.
Speed pile.
If you're new to the program and you're still listening somehow, what happens here is I'm going to name the player or the former player and then list off the crime. Dutch McTavish is going to represent them in front of Judge T'Shawn Phillips, also known as T'Shawn Prince. Here we go. First up in the pile, Thomas Clayton, the former Niagara University hockey player, has been charged with murdering his wife, bludgeoned her to death in her face while their kids were still in the house. Defend this guy. I would almost have to go with something that he was just bummed that he only played for Niagara University.
Correct.
The mosquitoes are big this year in upstate New York.
I believe, Your Honor, T'Shawn, Mr. Clayton's wife would not let him go five hole.
Understandable then. No, I mean, as long as the kids didn't have to watch, I think he should be put away for a lot of years. So.
Oh, I thought the five hole defense won again.
No, it sounded nearly tipped me, and no. He can go to jail.
Sounds to me like the judge doesn't know what the five hole is. Moving on here in the pile, Shadrach Thornton. The NC State running back was arrested for hitting a man on the sidewalk while he was driving his moped.
Oh. Well, the 2016 Vespas are out, and there's no way my client can ride them on the streets.
Have you seen the potholes in Raleigh?
Right. So the sidewalk is the only feasible place to go, and he was late to get to barbecue.
Right. Dynamite.
Can't blame a man for being European.
And a judge. The judge likes his barbecue. He knows. He knows the judge.
He does. As long as he brings me a good plate of barbecue, he can get off with just working the freeways, picking up garbage. All right.
And I think the real crime here is that he's playing for NC State, an ACC team, and they're only hooking him up with a moped, not a Bentley. I mean, that's just the institution here is right. The one that's at fault, not Thornton.
I think
he's like, the fuck am I supposed to ride this thing? It's smaller
institutional
than I am.
Failure.
He thought I must ride this on the sidewalk because this is so gay.
All right, moving on.
You got to go to a Florida school for a bit.
Moving on.
Moving on here in the pile, Brianna Fernstrom, the Iowa State center, was arrested on the eve of her 20th birthday for knocking on a door that was not at her residence. She had puked on herself. I can't believe that she was actually charged with this. It was her birthday.
Right. Feels wrong if she hadn't done
that. Yeah, Your Honor, go easy or go hard on her.
Yeah.
throw the book at him.
I sentence her to two cases of beer.
If she's playing center for Iowa State, that's a huge bitch. Going back to Deuce Bigelow, that's a huge bitch. That had to be a lot of puke.
And you know what? She's now on my team for best alcoholics in sports.
Already making the list. All right.
I like
speaking of alcoholics, let's move on here in the pile. Jamal Anderson, the former Dirty Bird, the former Falcons running back, arrested for Dewey again. Again. Again.
Mr. Anderson is still trying to forget that made field goal from the NFC Championship game that's ended the Super Bowl.
Yeah, did he invent the dance?
He might have been hammered when he did it. He probably doesn't remember remembering it.
Yeah,
inventing it. Yeah,
So, Jamal, how many of these has he had? How many DVDs?
It's at least two. And it's at least two, like, post NFL career.
All right. I sentence him to only being able to drive Shadrack Thornton's moped.
Perfect.
No, I think, Your Honor, can he ride bitch on Shadrack?
Moving on here in the pile.
Amended.
And can I get biblical here for a second? He should change his name to Meshach or Abednego.
Yes.
All right. No Old Testament fans here tonight, huh?
I don't know how to read.
Part of a Beastie Boys lyric.
Moving on here to Stuart Butler. Roll fucking tide. The Alabama fan was arrested for threatening to kill his mother and make her eat her cat after an argument over chores at 2 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. He lives with his mother, Your Honor.
Chores are not to be done at 2 a.m., and his mother should eat that cat. And, well, he's from Alabama, so I think he should get half of his sentence reduced because he is from Alabama.
He threatened to cut the cat in half and make his mother eat it. Oh, his mom then ran outside, and he followed her with a shotgun, and that's when Stu allegedly fired one shot that hit the ground just a few feet from where his mom was standing.
Now, was he going to cut the cat kind of just lengthwise or just like one half, like where you have ass and tail and the other half is, you know, head and
or like
ribs.
Almost like dissection?
Is that, I feel like, I believe this needs some sort of continuance.
We'll get back to you on that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was lengthwise.
Oh, all right. I take it back. I don't know how one does that with the gavel, but okay, well, this guy sounds fucking crazy to me, and I believe he's not from Alabama.
Mississippi, yeah.
I did some research on him, and
Mississippi or Tennessee, yeah.
It all seems wrong. I my ruling is that he was
going through a divorce, so that's why he moved back in with his mom. So he and his wife lived up in Mississippi or Tennessee or something, one of the two. So he moved back in with his mom, and that's why his mom is actually defending him, saying like he's a good boy.
I believe he should be put under house arrest or a trailer arrest or whatever anyone calls it, and that all of the town's stray cats be put in to live with him, and he can handle it that way. So stray cat, house arrest.
All right, finally here in the pile, how about Kurt Ludwigson? He is was the head softball coach at Nyack College. Is it Nyack or Nyack? It sounds 1%-ish.
Nyack, yeah.
Nyack. So he got in trouble because he invited Allie Hayes, the porn star, to practice, and he brought her there so she could convince all of his players to become porn stars. But then he would also, like, there were complaints that he would, like, slap the players' butts all the time. He would grab their tits, and he'd make them sit on his lap. Plus, using the alias Kurt Wagner, he allegedly founded a paid telephone service that linked porn star Brie Olsen to her fans. Charlie Sheen was a huge customer.
Can't fault a coach for congratulating his players on a good game.
According to the lawsuit, he once told one player, I am going to earfuck you. This is your punishment. You are going to stand here and take it. And that was after the pitcher lost the game in March 2015. Ludwigson then began to lick her ear. When she tried to pull away, Ludwigson held her tighter and said, stop moving. I told you that you are going to stand here and take it.
Well,
said crickets. I don't know. Does that mean like you don't think he did anything wrong?
this sounds like a troubled man. Oh, look who walked in.
We got Barry Murphy. You're just in time for Factor Fudge.
You doing a 2-hour special?
Yeah.
That'd be over by now.
No, it's not over till it's over with Ludwigson and his ear fucking. I don't know. What are you?
All right. So what do you think?
I don't know. It sounds. It's just revolting.
I have to dismiss myself from the case because of the ear fucking. I mean. It's not going to make it into Holly Randall's next movie, so whatever. You know, no thanks.
Guys, you hear that sound? Do you hear that sound? It means it's almost time for Fact or Fudge. Do we have a ruling here?
Guilty.
Guilty. All right, just so we can get the Fact or Fudge. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for my favorite segment here on the Daily Upper Decker. Fact or fudge?
Fact or fudge?
That Ludwigsen story. It just kept getting worse and worse.
For whatever reason, I have a boner. All right, here we go. The 2015-16 NHL season starts this week, gentlemen, and this will basically act as our NHL preview. Fact or fudge, gentlemen, is this the name of an NHL rookie this year or the name of a Russian rapper? All right. So, T'Shawn Phillips, you are the reigning champion, so you'll get to go first.
Okay.
First up here, Pavel Zacha. Pavel Zacha. Is that a Russian rapper or an NHL rookie this year?
Hockey.
Pavel Zacha. That is incorrect. Pavel Zacha is actually, I'm going to have to Google it because there's so many Russian rappers on my page. Pavel Zacha is actually a Russian rapper.
I'll have to Shazam his stuff.
And it's actually incorrect on my part. Pavel Zacha is a Czech professional ice hockey player. He's currently playing in the Ontario Hockey League. He was selected sixth overall by the New Jersey Devils in the 2015 NHL.
Game feels rigged already.
It does. I'm sorry. It sounded Czech, and it wasn't Russian, which I don't know why then I didn't just go to hockey player.
I don't know what to say. I got it right, though, right?
You got it right. You're up 1-0. All right, very good. A very confusing opening response.
I like that I really persevered through through the quagmire of your bullshit.
Hey, but hey, at least we're legit here. We're legit here. We looked everything up. All right, Dutch.
Yes.
Dutch McTavish, you find yourself down 1-0 here in Factor Fudge. Is this the name of an NHL rookie this year or the name of a Russian rapper?
Both.
Or both. That could actually be. Alexei Dolmatov.
Hockey.
That is incorrect.
Until
I Google it here. Alexei Dolmatov is actually a Russian rapper who goes by Guff. Guff. G-U-F. So this is some of his work here. Nice. I actually like it so far.
It's like the Russian Bismarcky.
I might play this on the golf course.
Anything but the Foo Fighters.
He goes by Guff. Alexei Dolmatov. Well, tough luck there. It's 1-0 T-Shawn here. Here we go. T-Shawn, is this a Russian rapper or is this an NHL rookie this year?
Okay.
Andrei Lysikov. Andrei Lysikov.
Definitely a rapper.
Vodka.
That is correct. He is he goes by a less gangster name of Dolphin. Oh. He is,
I think he and Guff should definitely do a duet.
Here, Dolphin rapper. Let's bring him up here. Let's see. Dolphin, he was born in Moscow, Russia. He's a 44-year-old rapper.
Good for him. Never too late.
Still in the game. Here we go. This is Dolphin Rap. We're bringing it up right now for the kids. Sounds very techno-ish, right? It's like it's not considered rap over there unless there's techno.
So far, his lyrical skills are strong.
It's good shit. I'm a huge Russian rap fan. Isn't that good shit? Might be a little Pac-Man sound effect in there. I like it. I'm sorry. I can't wait till we get to our next Russian rapper here.
I'm glad to see that the Casio keyboard I donated to Russian rappers is finally making
a
difference.
And that might have been, since he's 44, that might have been the first one you donated that he got.
I thought it got redirected from Haiti. I think they did. They were like, no, don't need this. And
Can we build a house with this? No. all right. So that means T'Shawn has a 2-0 lead. Dutch, you need to get this one here. Is this an NHL rookie this year or the name of a Russian rapper? Yegor Bulatkin. We need Andy Ostroff here to
do the accent.
Yes.
Igor is the goalie for the Thunder Bay Polecats.
I believe that is incorrect. He is a Russian rapper better known by his stage name Creed.
Oh man.
And I'm gonna be honest with you, there is no way he is worse than the band Creed in America. Let's bring up some good stuff here from this guy. Here we go. This is the rapper Creed over in Russia. And I think it's a tough act to follow, don't you think? I thought those first two songs were jams.
Yeah, dynamite.
This sounds like a domestic violence PSA. We might have to kick it in. This might be the worst rap song I've ever heard in Russia. So what would that be the equivalent to in America?
My dad yelling at me. What's going on here?
It's their Eminem and Rihanna.
I think he just found a way to be worse than the band Creed in America. That was pretty terrible. All right, so this is huge. T'Shawn Phillips, if you get this one right here, if you get it correct and you have not used your pullout yet, if you get this correct, then you win another round of Factor Fudge. Here we go. NHL rookie Destiny. Or the name of a Russian rapper, Ilya Samsonov. Ilya Samsonov.
Hockey.
That is actually correct. Ilya Samsonov is... he's from Russia. He was drafted by the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, I knew it.
Samsonov, you were way off, Dutch. It's another great round of Factor Fudge, gentlemen, brought to you by the Daily Upper Decker. Check us out online, dailyupperdecker.com. You can also find us at Facebook, Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. And we just posted a new Vine today of Vince Carter getting stuffed by the rim.
Oh, wow.
Well, more next week.
What about accidentes.net?
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.